Today's episode is brought to you by green beans, because you can hear Luke chewing them in the background, and he's a professional.
I think I'm healthy now because I eat all these beans.
You're listening to The Keith Show, starring Keith. I'm Keith. With me today is Luke. If you've heard previous episodes, you know him.
You'd just be the two episodes about Doctor Who, right?
No, we've done more than that.
Really? What was the other one? Oh, we did something about some terrible movie or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, that first episode, where it wasn't very good. And also, the show had a different name.
Yes. So. And we were hiding from the feds. Mm.
And it wasn't actually you and me. It was, I can't think of anything funny. Never mind.
It was the Nerdist.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
But, you know, whatever.
So thanks for having me on your show again.
Yeah, what we're going to be talking about is webcomics. Luke has a Kickstarter going for his current webcomic. So we're going to talk a little bit first about his background in webcomics, about the individual webcomic he's kickstarting the trade collection for, and then just kind of from there go into the craft of making webcomics.
All right, well, my current comic is called The Center of Somewhere. It's an all-ages comedy comic strip. It goes up Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every week. It was a five-day week. I just cut it back recently.
Because you're lazy.
Actually, it's because I work so hard, I had to get some other projects done as well. And unfortunately, the man still makes me pay taxes and go to a day
job.
Well,
unquote, other projects are drinking.
No, I can do both of those at the same time, Keith. So anyway, The Center of Somewhere is about a gang of talking animals, humans, and ghosts just mucking about and having a good time in an unnamed middle American small town. It's basically just an excuse for me to do something a little more cheerful, a little more optimistic. My previous strips had always been a little more cynical. It also gave me a wider tableau to set strips in terms of like setting. Working with a larger ensemble cast was different. Working with like an entirely new cast of characters from my previous strips was a real refreshing change in exercise. And it's one of those strips that really just have a bounty of ideas I can do with it. I can do long story arcs, which I've done a lot of. I can do one-off things. For a long time, I did poetry every Friday. I used to do real science facts where the characters would talk about science in humorous ways. I've done things where I've told entire stories in nothing but pictograms. I've done strips where like one of the characters is drawing his strip, so I drew like a child in colored pencil. I just finished a week-long homage to Fox and Socks. Where I basically just took the cadence of Fox and Socks, or at least the beginning of it, and had my
really, I thought it was an homage to Yertle the Turtle with the stacking.
No, if you read Fox and Socks,
I don't know how to read.
Oh, okay. If you have your mother read Fox and Socks to you, you'll see that the scenes pretty much match up to what he was saying. Well, like,
so you're saying you stole the arc?
No, I'm not saying I stole, because there were scenes in Fox and Socks, for example.
You're admitting to being a fraud.
No, I'm not.
This is the no spin zone.
I'm saying I'm a visionary, whereas like the fox was in Socks in a box with Knox, and chicks with clocks were in boxes. Everything was on things in mine. So it was a ghost.
Boy, you know
on a post.
You're Dr. Seuss.
I had to memorize. I didn't memorize it, but I had to read it a lot to get the cadence correct. So
okay.
Anyway.
Well, tell us a little bit about. Well, first, what would you say is the main inspiration of the strip itself? And then, who is the target audience? Who would respond best to it?
Okay. The inspiration for it was just really to do something different. The characters were all very... Like, I had a previous strip, a science fiction comedy called Moon Freight 3 that I did for 4 years prior to this. And it was a very sarcastic strip. The characters were very cynical. And it was just more of a biting strip than Center of Somewhere. And I just wanted to do something just very different. And so I created a bunch of characters with a bunch of different personality types. Like there's Finn Gullet Fish, who is just wacky and he's got a super short attention span. The very innocent and childlike Oakland Squirrel. The boy detective Nick Charles Malloy.
Another thing you stole.
That's an homage, sir.
The police are waiting outside your house right now.
Yeah, shut up. I live in Hartford. They probably are.
I don't know what that means.
Hartford is infamous among people who don't live in the city. For everyone thinks it's full of crime, but it's not.
It's Connecticut.
Listen, you don't know anything.
It's at worst white-collar crime.
You've never left the state of Pennsylvania, so...
Yes, I have.
I haven't seen you.
Yes, you have!
I don't remember that.
Heroes Con.
That could have been anybody named Keith.
Ah, okay.
So, and then, like, there's Blue Jay Turbo, who's... He's, like, the grumpy character. He's kind of the voice for the grumpy, cynical things that I want to say. And then, there's Kim Cho, who is a cheerful business owner. And then later on I added the ghosts, who are all basically petty crooks. And there's also some minor supporting characters.
Doc Schmitty.
There's Doc Schmitty, the unlicensed vet, who kind of imagine Mitch Hedberg if he was a veterinarian, and that's pretty much what Doc Schmitty is. At least that's how he sounds in my mind.
Hey, that sounds like my vet. That's where I get my animal tranquilizers from.
Nice.
Well, I gotta sleep somehow.
Oh, of course. I'm, there's no judgment zone. And then there's the superhero Snuggy Bear, who may or may not be loosely based on somebody we know.
See, you're stealing everything!
No, this person knows that. I asked permission first.
Welcome to Hartford.
See? You think everyone here is a criminal.
No, just you.
Okay.
You're the kingpin of Hartford.
It's true, I wish. And then there's Brunhilde Lizard, who's a very flighty tourist who just kind of pops up in, you know, random locations. And then I added a new person very recently, Tallulah Human, who is a...
I love that her last name's Human.
Well, everyone, there's Fish and Squirrel, and it's speciesist to just say that the animals have to have their species names as their last name.
But why does the kid have Malloy? Maybe he's... Malloy is a species in this world.
Well, it's not.
Oh, but how do you know?
Because I know.
That's like something a teacher says when the answer isn't in the back of the teacher's edition of a book.
Well, fine. It's because I know because I'm so much smarter than you and know everything.
That's exactly what the teacher says.
Your schools were harsh.
Yeah, we also had textbooks from the 70s, so, yeah. We still had the Soviet Union be taught 10 years after its collapse.
Oh, don't worry, we're going back that way again. Your textbooks will be relevant again soon enough.
Yay!
But anyway, Tallulah is a, she's a 12-year-old artist, and she's actually a fairly even-keeled character to compare to everyone else. She's like the only person who's never doesn't use exclamation points when she talks.
Really?
I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but she's like the only one who doesn't.
I'll have to pay attention to that from now on.
There's only one time when she used it, because if an ex like if using a period would have made it like she was saying ooh, and not having an exclamation point would have made her sound depressed. So,
Ooh.
Yeah.
Your idea being that you want her to have more of a kind of muted, mellow kind of voice.
Yeah, she's just not somebody who just gets excited about every single
But
thing.
not
She's
that she's speaking like
just
exceptionally soft though, right?
no, she's just serene.
Okay.
And for who would like this? I like to say that everyone would. I create jokes that are designed for kids to enjoy, and I've written a lot of jokes that were designed for adults to get and laugh at. I want to try to create a truly all ages comic.
Okay, well, what other comic strips would you say it's in the wheelhouse of?
If you're going to go like with web comics, definitely like Sheldon.
Not just web comics.
I know. Well, it's definitely Sheldon. They're probably in the newspaper.
I could see it, a comparison being made to maybe Misery Loves Sherman.
I've never read that actually.
Oh, you should. You'd like it.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll look for it.
It's Chris Eliopoulos.
Oh yeah, okay. I know the strip. I have not read that though. Probably, maybe something like Calvin and Hobbes, very imaginative,
I was going
very
for
playful strip.
Peanuts.
Peanuts
You
definitely,
failed.
although Peanuts is, let's be fair, kind of a grim strip at times, the kind of a depressing one.
Life is kind of depressing at times.
Well, not in the center of somewhere, it's not.
Oh.
Basically any kind of strip that like it's an apolitical strip. I wanted
It's about ape politics.
to. It is, it, and those get ugly.
This.
No, it's politics free. There's a lot of pop. There's some pop culture references and stuff in there, but I didn't want it to be like. I didn't want to be something that everybody just argued about all the time. I wanted to be just kind of one of those. If you go on the internet for 30 seconds, you're not going to get some crap from somebody here.
Okay,
Yeah.
let's talk about the Kickstarter.
Okay, the Kickstarter is I am looking to publish a book collection of the first 18 months of The Center of Somewhere. Excuse me, I'm burping because I ate my dinner immediately before doing this.
I know, they heard.
Oh, you actually recorded that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's going in the episode.
Okay, that's fair. That
Your
sounds.
mother will be ashamed.
Well,
She
at this
already
point,
was.
yeah. Anyway, so I'm looking to raise $2,000 to print the book. It'd be 108 pages in full color, and that would pay pretty much just for printing and shipping costs, and to pay the cover colorist. Blah.
That should be about 360 strips.
It sounds something like that. I haven't done the exact math. I mean,
I
not
did
all.
18 months, assuming 5 strips a week, 4 weeks in a month is 360.
Okay, yeah. So then it's around about there. And there is a bit of bonus content in there too. There is a few pages of the behind the scenes sketches that I did
We don't
before
want to
I.
spoil it, but he's tucking a $5 bill in every one.
Well, sort of. I mean, with every I did do a slight math error when I was calculating the back rewards. So everyone from the book level and above is getting a $5 sketch card with their reward in addition to everything else they get.
Bam.
So this goes until Wednesday, February 25th at 7:09 p.m. And the back rewards for $1 you can get a thank you in the book. For $5 you can get a sketch card, a full color sketch card. For $10 you can get a DRM free PDF of the book. For $15 you can get a PDF and a sketch card. For $25 or more you can get a print version of the book, and it comes with personalized sketch and signature. And from this level on, everybody gets the bonus cards. Everything I read here is going to also include the card. For $30, you can get the book and a sketch card. So with this one, you'll get two. Or you can get a print version and a PDF. For $35, you can get all the previous rewards, the book, the sketch card, the PDF. For $40, you can get a copy of Center of Somewhere Volume 1 and a copy of my first book, Moon Freight 3 Volume 1, which will be signed and sketched in. For $50 or more, you get everything. And for the for $80 or more,
like
that
literally is, everything in the universe?
Everything you personally own.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and for $80 or more, that's the retailer exclusive level, where I will send you 5 copies of the book, all personalized to your store. So, so that's that. So those are all the backer rewards. And if you go on to the Kickstarter page, the book is called The Center of Somewhere, Volume 1, Small Town Heroes. And so you can search for it by that.
Can you also search under just Luke Foster?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Might be easier for them to find that way.
Well, it's this, you know, The Center of Somewhere. That's, yeah, like that. It comes up that. Yes, you can get that. Or, yeah. If you search by Luke Foster, it'll come up.
Okay.
Along with my last Kickstarter for my graphic novel, Drawn Away, and for an unsuccessful Kickstarter I ran 3 years ago. I prefer to repeat Drawn Away and not the other one, so please help support The Center of Somewhere. And so you said that this is going up this weekend, right?
Yeah, hopefully tonight.
Okay, so... So Keith and I and another friend of mine were coming up with a sort of like unofficial bet that I could do for this Kickstarter. So what I'm saying is that if we can get to 80% of funding with 10 days left to go, so that would be Sunday the 15th. If I can get 80% of funding
day
by that
after
day,
Valentine's Day.
Yes. If we get 80% of funding by that day, I will grow a Ron Swanson mustache, and I will keep it for a month.
Will you take ridiculous photographs?
I think that's a given, so people will understand and know that I did this. So this is serious. Like, so if it's even 79% funding by that by the 7:03 p.m. on the 15th, then no deal. So if we want this to happen, if you want me to grow a ridiculous mustache and take photos of it and put them on the internet where people like Keith will make fun of them,
yes,
then let's make this happen.
Unfortunately, Luke being who he is, it'll take him probably a year and a half to grow the mustache.
Huh, I wish. It'll take me about 3 days. I'm the hairiest sum gun you'll ever meet.
It's like Teen Wolf.
Kinda is, yeah. However, I gotta time it between visits to my niece, because I don't want to scare her by showing up with a giant scary mustache.
You can be Uncle Walrus Man.
No, that's never gonna happen. So, yeah, so you people heard it here first, unless this goes out later than the next time I say it, in which case you'll hear it there first, and then hear second.
Okay. Anything else we need to say about the Kickstarter?
I'm super excited to have this. I really would like to get this book out to people. I think they'd really enjoy it. I think it's a great thing if you're looking to get your kids into comics, but you don't want them to spend all their time on the computer, or the computer just for games or whatever like that. Get them this book. I like to think it's a good gateway into comics.
So you're saying that if people don't get their kids this book, they don't love their children.
Well, you're saying that. But I'm not.
I'm trying to help.
I said, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yes.
So.
I heard that for every dollar donated to the Kickstarter, a puppy is born.
I have also heard that. I've also heard that if you support this, I won't join a street gang.
Thugs. Hooligans with their quick snapping and
their ne'er-do-well lifestyles.
Wild dance moves. You're like in a Broadway Street Gang, is what I'm saying.
Oh, those aren't any good.
What are you talking about? They had knives. They'll cut you.
Yeah, they didn't end up well for most of the people there.
Yeah, see?
So yeah, anyway.
Neither does being in a street gang in general. Why do you support street gangs, Luke?
Because I want old people to be afraid.
That's the best possible answer.
Well, what can I say? I'm anti-old person.
I'm not going to make the joke I thought of.
I wanna
clearly hear so is Mother Nature, otherwise they wouldn't be old.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
So that's all the rewards. That's everything that's going. Remember, you have until 7:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday the 15th, and for the mustache goal and Wednesday, February
the
25th.
The special mustache goal.
Yeah, that sounds dirty. And Wednesday, February 25th, 7:09 p.m. for the entire Kickstarter.
Okay. Now on to talking about making webcomics in general.
Yes. So, these days, I've always done...
They have this thing called the internet, and it's on computers, and lots of people can use it, and...
Keith uses his for looking up kitty pictures.
I would like to, specify that he means cat pictures.
Listen, only filthy-minded people would think otherwise.
Well, not with the enunciation that you had.
Whatever. I'm a hero and we both know it.
But yes, cats are adorable. Meow. They can as cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, since about the early 2000s, the internet has been a...
Did you call it the internets?
No, the internet. I started clearing my throat. The internet has been a pretty viable and wide-ranging way for people who want to make comics to get their work out there without the barriers of needing a publisher to approve them.
Now, this has been a podcast thing and a bad thing.
This has been a podcast from 2005. but yeah, so
you know.
So Keith and I have both. Both used the opportunity to create our own comics and get them out there.
That would be the bad aspect of it.
Well, you, maybe. I mean, the good aspect is I get on there, and then I get to go to conventions, and people get to meet me and see how handsome I am, so.
Again, the bad aspect.
And it's true. It is bad for all those people who realize they can't be with me, because I'm, only one man.
Thank goodness for that.
So anyway, I've been drawing my comics by hand since the beginning. I draw them just on regular old paper with non-photo blue pencil and ink them with Micron pens. Then I scan them in and I color them. I used to use a program called GIMP. Now I currently use Manga Studio, which is... once you get past the learning curve, pretty great. I'd like to get a tablet and learn how to draw with it, too. But, I'll get to that soon enough. And, excuse me, God, I keep burping. Then I color it, letter it, and then I throw it up online.
Okay.
How do you make yours?
Well, when I first started, which was a little over 4 years ago, I would draw it out, pencil it on paper, and then basically, like you said, ink it with Micron pens, scan it in, and then color it digitally and letter it digitally. Now, within the past year, I've switched over to completely doing it digitally on a Wacom tablet, right into Photoshop, and there's a learning curve. To be sure, but I found that I think the quality has gone up because you're not losing anything within the scan.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So anyway, now what's your strip? Why am I doing the interview? This is your show.
Because I'm lazy.
Okay, well, you've been doing a strip called Stale Popcorn, which is about some nerds who work in a movie theater.
Yes.
And sometimes they get attacked by Yetis, and sometimes they die, and it's really sad.
Yeah, it's totally realistic.
Nobody ever dies.
No. In real life, no.
So, and you've been doing yours. Yours goes up 2 days a week.
Yep, and it's been going since 2010.
Is this your only? This is not your. I am. Why am I interviewing you? Seriously.
Because I'm fascinating.
No, you're really not. It's because you're lazy, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like your only webcomic, right?
Yes, I'm going to be launching another one soon. Hopefully.
Intrigue.
Yeah, I don't have a title for it yet. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think so. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm still in the planning for it.
That's cool. Yeah, I've done... Center of Somewhere is actually my fourth webcomic. I started off with Moon Freight 3. I did that for 4.25 years, 3 times a week. I did for 8 months concurrent with that. I did a strip called The Gang from the Store, which is all true stories of things that happened at the comic book shop I was working at. And that went up 2 days a week. That was a weekend strip. And then I ended. I always intended for that one to be a limited run. I wanted to do something I could just put into one book and then just sell at conventions. I actually sold out of my very small print run of that book, and I'm not getting another one because, let's be honest, my art was terrible back then.
Yes, back then.
Just back then. But you know, it was a good experiment, good learning curve, and then 2 years ago, I went traveling across the United States for 4 months, and I wrote and drew a nonfiction journal comic called Drawn Away, A Cartoonist Tours America, and I did that for 4 months. I posted that online, and then I did a Kickstarter for that book, and it was very successful. Drawn Away has been like the most successful thing I've ever done. I'm actually almost out of copies of that first print run. I'm almost certainly going to have to get more for convention season this year, which is pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. So those are the projects I've worked on, and the center of some... I did Drawn Away. I was going to say I did it concurrently as well, but Center of Somewhere, I updated most of the strips for when... I updated like 3/4 of the strips I would need before I left. So there's only like a month worth I had to do on the road. And so for the most part, I was just working on Drawn Away by itself.
What I think is interesting about the... Well, there are two aspects. There's a benefit and a disadvantage to a webcomic in that you get a sense of instant gratification. Every time you post, you're always putting something out there, and you can get relatively instant feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the corollary to that is that, for the most part, you're also still working entirely in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
So you're posting stuff, and you're like, if you're not getting like direct talk back on it,
mm-hmm.
you really don't know how people are responding to it.
This is true. So you just kind of do what anyone else does in a creative field. You go with your instincts, you listen, but you don't be, you're not necessarily influenced by what other people say, and you just go with it.
Yeah, that's one of the things. The tactic that I had with Stale Popcorn when I started was I didn't necessarily take it that seriously, and that sounds terrible, but I mean in the sense that I was I viewed it as a learning curve thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is going to be my first serious project to really teach myself how to make comics as I'm doing it, diving in headfirst, which was really, I think, the best way. And it taught me to be less precious about what I was doing and less fearful about, oh, I need to revise this over and over again, and then I need to revise this, because you are facing that looming deadline that you'll always have to meet. So you're just like, you have a sense of, okay, well, I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, and I literally was teaching myself to draw as I was doing, when I was doing Moon Freight 3. I think I taught myself, I did some practice drawing a bit beforehand to kind of figure out what I wanted the characters to look like. But you're basically watching me learn, go from somebody with, like, who last took an art class his sophomore year of high school to how I draw now.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you look at, like, the first strip of Stale Popcorn to, like, today, it's vastly different, which is encouraging.
It's amazing how you got so much worse, really.
Yeah, I know. Well, all those blows to the head didn't... it's... You could see, like, at the beginning, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, no. A lot of folks don't. I mean, whenever you get very discouraged doing comics, especially in, like, a public forum and you're learning like that, it helps to go back to, like, the early days of, like, Schlock Mercenary, for example, or even PvP, and see how... Well, in some cases, they'll admit they were, you know, not great artists. They did pretty bad artwork, and they've improved so much.
So, if that's the major takeaway that I've had from webcomics, is just do it. Mm-hmm. You just plow forward and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was also very freeing is I was able to do a lot of experimental stuff with Stale Popcorn, in the sense that trying to figure out both what kind of a strip it was and what kind of a format it would take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how strictly did I want to contain it to a specific narrative arc, or how silly I wanted to take it? So I would play around with different aspects of that at different moments to see not just how readers reacted, but how I felt about things as they played out. And it wound up changing what I had planned initially. I mean, the thing's been going for 4.5 years now. I never intended it to go this long. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe a year, and then it would be done. But the more you sink into something, you start to... In a way, the characters start to drive the story as much as you do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally. There are, like... People always say that, like, you know, my characters just started, you know... They surprised me in the directions they took in these comics or in my story or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't even kind of realize it until you just experiment with how characters interact with each other, and then you realize that they've got a good chemistry.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is matching up characters that haven't really had, like, call it screen time together, and seeing how they play off each other.
Yeah, definitely. I never expected Turbo and Kim to be best friends when I started the strip. They were kind of like the only two real adult characters, and they just play off each other really well.
Yeah, and in Stale Popcorn, you wind up seeing, like, in a weird way, Stan and Gwyn have a kind of bond that was never intended. They bring out better aspects of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in that experimentation, I think I finally hit a point where it's just like, okay, you know what? Fire everything. Every wild idea I have, I'm just going to put into the strip. I thought I was going to be done long ago, and I had started to actually go towards a place where I was going to wrap up the strip, but then I had an idea for there's something that's going to be coming within the next month or so, which is going to dramatically change the strip, but is also going to essentially set it up that it could go relatively indefinitely if I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And when that happens, it's going to be both somehow more grounded and realistic and serious and dark, but yet more wild and out there and utterly silly too.
Sure, yep.
And it'll be consistent with that. And I don't know how that happened, but it's a very, it winds up being very me, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd say that. So yeah, it's definitely a great way to experiment. And like a lot of, and there's some people who aren't experimenting. They just go in, I have this story to tell and I'm going to post it on the web because this is my medium for delivery of this thing.
Yeah.
And then once that is done, they'll collect it into a book or they'll move on to something else.
And there's certainly plenty of room for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the particular instance of these Center Somewhere and Stale Popcorn, it has been both for both of us that learning curve aspect, almost setting up our future projects.
Yeah.
It's the proving ground. Kind
exactly.
Of.
And I mean like every, you know, and it's not that I'm doing this just so I can go to something else. It's I'm doing this and I'm putting every effort into it. I'm trying to make the best comic I can. It's, you know, it just happens to be that the next thing I make will be better.
For having done this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I do this for 100 years because it's wildly popular and I live to be 135 years old.
Sure. Why not? It's the future. We're all going to be turned into computers, right?
Well, no, I plan on, you know, healthy living and, you know, living
right. It's those beans you were eating.
They're raw green beans, and raw green beans are full of vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
So, how long do you see yourself doing Center Somewhere, though? Besides 100 years?
I have ideas of where it's... I have a pretty good idea of what the ending story is going to be. I haven't written it yet. So I know I'm not ready, quite ready yet to end it, but I have roughly an idea of how long it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, like I said, something changes dramatically. So I don't want to say anything because, you know, minds change.
Yes. Usually 20 or 30 times. That's just been my experience.
So that's everything I was going to say.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
This is weird because we've been recording for less than an hour.
I know, but...
We never do that.
Yeah, I know. What was that that Doctor Who discussion that was like 4 hours later?
We did two of them like that.
Yeah. Well, that's Doctor Who, though. Okay, talk about the Kickstarter again real quick to remind people how to get to it.
Okay, you can go to kickstarter.com or go to my Tumblr or my Twitter, cartoonistluke.tumblr.com or Twitter/cartoonistluke. Or you can just go to Kickstarter and search for Luke Foster or The Center of Somewhere. The book is The Center of Somewhere, Volume 1, Small Town Heroes, looking to raise $2,000 for printing costs. It ends Wednesday, February 25th, 2015 at 7:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Plenty of backery rewards. There is a bet to get me to grow a mustache, if you listen to this or follow me on social media. And, yeah, it's a great book for kids, for adults.
Animals, for puppy chow,
for ghosts.
Especially for ghosts.
Yep. There's
not enough ghost representation in media.
I agree. There's a good number of pages on the Kickstarter page itself to give you a pretty decent sample of what I do. Or you can check out the strip itself at centerofsomewhere.com. So please check it out. Please support it. I really want to see this book get printed. I don't want to have to beat up Keith and make him cover the balance that doesn't get pledged. So wow. For Keith's sake, not for mine.
You could try that. Yeah, it's not going to work.
Well, we'll see. So,
in that I have no money, so.
I don't know. People can do a lot under duress. The point is, if you don't want to see Keith suffer, and frankly, he's got that lovable plush toy quality, you really wouldn't want him to.
It's true.
Support the Kickstarter.
If you pull my string, I say adorable things.
So, yeah, so that would be that. So,
where can they find the new strips right now?
Centerofsomewhere.com updates every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the full archive is online, as well as links to my other strips. All my strips are archived on the site. You can just go there and get the links.
Okay, say goodbye to the nice people.
Goodbye to the nice people. This has been The Keith Show, starring Keith. Please follow us on Twitter at Keith Show Pod or like us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Our theme music is 8-Bit Dungeon Boss by Kevin MacLeod, provided by a Creative Commons license. The Keith Show is a proud member of the Deliberate Noise Network. For this and other great shows, visit DeliberateNoise.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.